Well, we're entering a new year, and we have not passed this way before. We're going down a new path. We're looking forward to new things. Getting ready to start the month of January. The month of January is named for the Roman god Janus. He was the pagan god that's usually depicted with two faces. He's considered the Roman god of beginnings and endings, of doorways, of choices. The two faces, one is facing backward to the past, one is facing forward to the future. What do we take from that? Well, for us, as regard to the past, we should recognize the wrongs that we've done. You know, as Christians, we need to understand that we do things that are wrong. But we also have to acknowledge them. We have to acknowledge them, which means we confess them. We confess them to God, of course, but we also may need to confess them to others as well. We need to truly feel sorry for all those wrongs that we've done. And then, of course, turn away from them. But as regarding the future, the new year offers us a chance to wipe the slate clean and start over again. That's what's so exciting about a new year. You can start over. Have that slate completely clean. Begin new. Which means it's the time to set new goals. And we need to make plans on how to achieve those goals. You know, that's where most people fail. They make some great goals, but they do not make any plans on how to achieve them. How to execute them. How to make sure they reach those goals. For us, it's a time of revival. It's a time of renewal. And I sure hope you have something to write with, because I want to, like I tell my students, I want to see you writing. Writing is good. It's a good thing. There's a lot of things I want us to write down. I've narrowed it down to 7 goals, but inside those goals, some of them have several parts. Some of them just have one, but some have several. But I think all of them are really important, especially because they all come out from God's Word. They're all based upon what God has said. Goal number one, and obviously it is the most important of all, and that's to put God first in everything you do. Not just some of the things you do, but everything you do. This, of course, comes from Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And hopefully you can write down the verses as we go to see where these come from. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. We'll notice the speaker and then what is said. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. These are the words of Jesus, and he says in verse 30, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. All. So we need to put God first in our lives. This needs to be our highest priority. When we look at a new year, we have to prioritize things. Okay, this is the most important, and then behind this is the second most important. We need to prioritize. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? I think most of you probably do. It's found in Luke chapter 10. We know the two sisters. But to refresh our memory, let's read verses 38 through 42. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village," talking about Jesus, "and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things.'" Many things. "But one thing is needed, See? Priority. This is what he says is the most important. And Mary has chosen that good part. Mary set the priorities right, which will not be taken away from her. What was her priority? Listening to Jesus. She put God first. It wasn't that the other things were not important. They were. But she chose the best. So when we think about prioritizing, we need to think about putting God first, just like Mary did. We need to think about the things that we do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, a monthly basis. Because we want to think, and I'm going to be asking lots of questions during this lesson, we need to answer the question, what do you want to leave behind as a legacy? So at the end of life, what do you want people to believe was your priority in life? What did you put first? I think it's a very important question. What do you want to leave behind? What do you want your legacy to be? So the first goal, put God first in all you do. The second one, and this is the one that I'm really going to be trying to help from the pulpit and from the classroom, know what you believe. I'll repeat that. Know what you believe. This, of course, comes from 1 Peter 3:15. I know you've heard this verse many times, but we're going to read it again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Peter says, "But sanctify," which means to set God apart, make Him first, "the Lord God in your hearts." And always, that tells us how often, always be ready to do what? To give a defense or to give an answer. To give an answer to everyone who asks you. What are they asking you? About the hope that's in you. And how do you answer them? With meekness and fear. So, know what you believe and know why you believe it. This is something that's greatly changed since I was young. When I was younger, most everybody in the Lord's church knew what they believed and why they believed it. And that's not so true anymore. But it's essential that we know why we believe what we do. Things about the existence of God or the inspiration of the Bible, the plan of salvation, what's acceptable worship. Dig deep. I want us individually to dig deep into God's Word concerning some point of faith that maybe you're a little confused about. Maybe it's about the existence of God. Maybe it's about the inspiration of the Bible. Maybe it's about repentance. Maybe it's about the Lord's Supper. Choose some point of our faith that you're not very clear about, and dig deep into God's Word. And never, ever be ashamed of what the Bible teaches. Regardless of who you're around. The psalmist made this point back in Psalms 119. The psalmist says in verse 46 of that chapter, and remember, Psalms 119 is all about God's Word. Psalms 119, verse 46 says, "I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." Regardless of what authority you're speaking to or what group you're in, be willing to state God's Word, what it teaches, and never be ashamed of it. Even if the people you're talking to don't believe it or don't like it. Never be ashamed. That's why it's so important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Of course, this implies that we're willing to learn ourselves. We turn over a few pages to Proverbs 9. This is a great verse. Proverbs 9, verse 9. This is what it says. Proverbs 9, 9. Great words of wisdom here. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Which means being willing to learn. Regardless at where we are in our lives, regardless of our stage in life, be willing to learn. Everybody needs to have that attitude, to have that spirit. I want to learn more. Since you can never know too much, then be willing to learn. This may take diligence on our part. This will take diligence. This will take time and effort. Be diligent to present yourself a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Why? Because he's rightly dividing the word of truth, the word of God. Rightly dividing means there's a wrong way to divide it. We see that in the religious world. So the second goal, and how important it is, know what you believe and why you believe it. Goal number three. Be real. Which means being honest, which means being sincere. The opening of the letter Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he tells them this in chapter 1, verse 10. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. That you may be sincere. Honesty, sincerity are key if we're trying to win people to Christ. We're to be people of integrity. What does it mean for someone to have integrity? It means that you're the same person whether someone's watching or not. That's what it means. Doesn't matter if anybody's watching you or not, you're still the same person. You don't put on a false front. In other words, you're not a hypocrite. You're real. Remember what the people, actually Daniel's enemies, said about him? We go back to Daniel chapter 6. And we have a great commentary on what it means to be a person of integrity. Daniel chapter 6. Verse 4. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Well, these were his enemies. They wanted to find something that they could charge him with. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. He was real, he was honest, he was sincere in his religion, in his faith. And so his enemies tried and tried and tried to find something they could charge him with, but they could not. The people tried to do this against the Apostle Paul too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is what Paul writes in verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul writes, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, they weren't deceitful or sly, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, by living the truth, revealing the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul says, we were living real. We were sincere. We were honest. We weren't trying to deceive anybody. It's a what you see is what you get mentality. We have to be like that. We can't be people of hypocrisy. So when God says, let love be without hypocrisy, Romans 12:9. He means that we shouldn't pretend to love other people. We should really love them. That's what it means to let love be without hypocrisy. Really love them. That's agape love. Wanting what's best for them, what they really, really need above everything else. So be real. Number four, grow stronger in your faith. Now this is going to mean putting on the spiritual armor. Ephesians chapter 6. Hope you go there now. We're going to read a few verses there. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemings of the devil, craftiness of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So the first question is this: what piece of armor can I grow stronger in during this year? Is it the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit? What piece of armor that he's going to talk about in these next few verses do you need to work on and grow stronger in this year? Pick one out and work on that particular piece of armor. We don't want to become like Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14 says. That's what we want to avoid. Ephesians 4:14 says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. God knows that there are people out there who are trying to deceive us spiritually. And we don't want to be just tossed about going every which direction. We want to be grounded in our faith. So, grow stronger in our faith. Ask yourself this question: what sin do you struggle with the most? That's obviously going to be different for people. But pick one out. What sin do you struggle with the very most? And one of the best ways to grow stronger in your faith is to memorize more of God's Word. "Thy Word I have sent in my, I have stored in my heart, kept in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Psalms 119, verse 11. It's in my heart. I've memorized it. I know it. I know what it means. And that's the best way to work on those sins, to grow stronger. So here's my challenge from this particular goal. I would challenge you to memorize one new verse each week. One new verse each week. I can put one in the bulletin for you, and we could all memorize the same verse each week, which may be a good way to do it. Verses that deal with salvation or the nature of God or about worship. But we can all do that. We can memorize one new verse a week. And at the end of the year, we'll know 52 verses. I know at some of these youth gatherings, they'll have youth, young people, that's memorized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses. That's amazing. It's probably easier when you're younger, but let's don't use that as an excuse. We're young compared to Methuselah, so let's think about that. Number five comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 16. Where the writer says this, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So, as a goal, let's make sure we turn to God first and not last. Begin and end each day with prayer. As Paul told the Colossian church, Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer. Begin and end with prayer. I forgot I was going to mention to the song leader about singing that song, about pray in the morning, pray at noontime, pray in the evening, pray all the time. I completely forgot. Just now remembered it. But see, that's what we need. Put God first instead of last. And especially when that comes to approaching His throne of grace. To ask for mercy, to ask for help in time of need. So go to Him first and not last. Number 6 comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11 says, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." I simply called it, never be lazy. Never be lazy. Work hard, he says. Don't lag in diligence. So don't be lazy. Work hard, serve the Lord, and do so, he says, with enthusiasm, fervent in spirit. So serve Him enthusiastically. Not begrudgingly, but enthusiastically. And be glad that you can. So use your time and your energy and your talents with enthusiasm. Do everything for the Lord with enthusiasm. Fervently. So be diligent. Don't be lazy. And finally, you probably figured I was going to get to this one. Have as your goal to share the gospel with at least one person. Hopefully more, but at least one person. Because as we have received salvation, now we're obligated to tell others about the gospel. Isn't that the essence of Mark 16:15? Go into all the world? The world right next door to you. The world is the person working next to you. The world is the person you go to school with that you sit next to in your desk. The world is the person that checks you out at the grocery store. That's the world. That's the world. Wherever you are, that's the world. So use that opportunity. We don't ever want to hear on Judgment Day from someone, "You never mentioned Him to me." Remember that great song? "You never mentioned Him to me." Think about how sad that would be. Knowing someone for years and years and years, and they had no idea that you believed in God or believed in Jesus or believed in the Bible or went to church or anything. They had no idea. Well, those are the 7. The new year, just days away. We've made a list of goals, and you can add to them and modify them and whatever. But I want to ask you one more question to end the lesson. One more question. What do you need to eliminate from your normal day to reach these goals? What do you need to get rid of in your normal day? What do you need to change in your day so that you can reach these goals? And again, for everybody, it'll be different. What do you need to eliminate so that you can reach these goals? And that question is as important as any of the other questions that we've looked at this morning. I hope you've written these down. I hope you can put them somewhere where you'll see them on a daily basis, maybe many times during the day, and focus on these goals and focus on answering these questions that's been brought up. And we'll all, collectively, individually, be better for it. Because what a wonderful new year we have in front of us. We've seen this past year people put on Christ in baptism, experience the new birth. We've seen people increase in their faith. We've seen people step up and do more in the service of the kingdom. That's been wonderful. And now we have a new year to look forward to. And maybe this morning is the morning you're ready to experience that new birth by being baptized. Or maybe you have and you want to wipe that slate clean. You want to start with a clean slate and begin this new year. Maybe you need to come and confess wrong like we've mentioned and ask for prayers. But as we're led in this invitation song, it invites you to come and do what you need to do. So let's stand and sing this song.